Hey, we're happy to have Dennis Larson joining us tonight. And Dennis is the License Administration Manager down at the Minnesota State Fair. And Dennis, I want to welcome you to the Roadhouse.
Well, thank you for having us.
You know, the License Administration Manager sounds a little boring, but what you get to do is kind of fun. You get to decide what new foods are going to be offered at the State Fair and, in fact, how those new foods are going to be chosen. There must be a lot of food served down at the State Fair.
Yeah, we kind of pride ourselves on having around 500 foods served at about 300 locations here.
Wow, that's a lot of choices for people. And the State Fair, I don't know, I haven't been there for a few years, but it's got to be one of the largest events. I mean, if not the largest event that happens in the state.
Oh, we think so, yeah. For sure, the 12-day fair, you know, doing $1.8 million is the top one in the United States. The only one that beats us out a little bit. Dallas, of course, everything's bigger in Texas, but they're also 20. They always forget to qualify that it's also a 24-day fair, so
okay.
We're really not a fair comparison. But certainly in Minnesota, absolutely, and in the upper Midwest.
So that's how many people, 1.8 million?
Just about last year, yeah, about 1.78 or something like that to round it up.
But, oh, yeah. Man, that's a lot of people through the turnstiles.
Yeah.
Now, there's got to be, I mean, there's 500 different venues to eat at, but there's also a lot of people to pick those places and to buy food. And there must be a pretty stiff competition just to get added to the list.
Right, exactly. Just to get into the fair, we generally at any given time have 400 to 500 active applications of people who would like to get into sell food. And any given year, I'm the bad guy who can only pick 3 or 4.
Now, how many people, I mean, some must disappear sometimes of the folks that have been involved.
Occasionally, yes, and sad to say, some pass away, and the next generation isn't interested, or they they just move on. And but it's a very low turnover because it is quite lucrative, to be honest. Yeah.
Sure. What kind of criteria do you use when you're thinking, okay, I've got so many slots here, got all these people applying? How do you narrow that list down?
Well, the not so much fun part of it is actually the experience and the ability of somebody to do it. A lot of people have a lot of great ideas, you know. They had a great house party and grilled this in the back, and everybody said, oh, you should be at the fair, but they've never done that before. So you really have to be in the business and start practicing and trying out at the smaller festivals and county fairs and kind of work your way up, as we always say. So that's really what it comes down to, is having the experience, the wherewithal, and the ability and a good operation to bring it to the fair. And then it's the space available, which they or I can't control. And I always sometimes say all the stars need to be aligned that a space is available, and we're looking for the best barbecue rib operator. We go to our files and find somebody who's got good experience in doing that, looks like they know what they're doing, and then we would bring them in.
Some of the people who are already there, let's say there's a couple of openings, and those openings are better locations, do they get an opportunity to grab those first?
Very good question, Buck. Yes, what we do, that's exactly what we do. In fact, if a space opens up, I call it promoting from within. We look at somebody and see, do they need a bigger space, a better space, or a different space, first of all? And depending on if it is better for them, we may offer that. If it doesn't, the other fine or important point is that geographic balance. I don't have 3 corn dog guys all lined up in a row, of course, because we try to scatter them around so that they can all make a good living and they're not into each other's business.
Now, I glanced over the new foods for 2014, and actually it's a pretty good, I mean, a pretty long list of new foods for this year. And I've got to tell you, as I went through that list, I don't know that there were that many new foods that you could say are part of a healthy diet.
No. Sometimes we say it's your day off.
Okay.
Come to the fair and we say we promote fun food. And there are always some healthier alternatives, but in all honesty, we all know that's really not what we come to the fair for. We come to the fair to maybe be a day of decadence and walk around with an ice cream pail full of cookies, you know, that type of thing.
Do you happen to have that list in front of you? I imagine you know them by heart anyway.
Oh, pretty much, yeah.
Yeah. One that caught my eye was a deep-fried buckeye. Can you tell folks what a deep-fried buckeye is?
Well, yeah, I'm glad you asked that one because it was a challenge for me, too. I actually had to go to the Google and figure that out. It must be kind of a regional favorite. I want to say more Indiana or maybe South. And it looks like a peanut butter ball to me, and then they dip it in chocolate. So that would be the candy confection that I couldn't say I've even seen in Minnesota. But then this operator takes it and dips it in funnel cake batter and then deep fries it. So somewhat like We also have deep fried candy bars out here, so kind of on that version, but a little bit of a different play on it because it's on a stick and these six round balls of decadence, if you will.
Now, do you have to call the emergency room before you eat that?
Yeah, or at least schedule an appointment, I think, yeah.
Yeah, wow, I mean, it's like, I don't think I could even eat that, but obviously, you know, it's peanut butter, chocolate, those are things I like. It's just a lot in one spot.
Yeah,
that's great.
Dipping sauce too, so yeah, you always got to have that.
Of the new ones that were added this year, which one was, did you pick a favorite? Is there one you really want to get out there and try, or did you get a chance to try all these?
We've tried some of them, some of the items that we're not too sure of. The Buckeyes, we were not able to. He's not local here, but we did get a chance to try the gelato because we were concerned with the beer gelato, and have we ruined a good gelato or ruined a good beer in blending the two? But the beer purists and the gelato purists seem to have concurred that, no, it's a pretty good item, and so they were happy with that. So a couple of the other flavors, occasionally we get a chance to try them where we've seen their operation somewhere else, but the pretzel curds were pretty well. We did get some samples of those because we weren't exactly sure how it was going to work, but so we kind of have to take their word for them, and we hope they, you know, vetted it well before they bring it to the fair. I'll put it that way.
You know, that beer gelato one was one I wanted to talk to you about. It's sort of like a root beer float, but there's no root beer involved.
No, and it's not in the beer. Of course, the beer is in the gelato, so it's a scoop of that, and it has a little bit of the yeasty taste to it while you're having it. And to me, it tastes a little more like coffee ice cream, I thought, which is kind of, I thought that was odd for what it's supposed to be. But it was, it changes it, obviously.
That is one that I wouldn't mind trying out. That sounded pretty darn good. There's a few others that kind of caught my eye. There was that chicken and the waffle thing.
Yeah, chicken and waffles have kind of become mainstream, I'll say, from kind of a very regional favorite in the southern parts of the United States, of course. And that sweet and savory kind of a thing, I guess it was a late-night treat at some of Mom's places, so to speak. And the Blue Barn here has came up with, I call it a state fair version. That way they make the waffle into a waffle cone and put the savory fillings inside along with the gravy. And you've got a great walk-in around fair food, a classic favorite.
Yeah, they call it a southern classic. And you know, when I read the next one, and I don't even know how to pronounce it, but it's the Chili Quiles, is that?
Yeah, a little more harder key on that. Chili Quiles is how you pronounce it. Yeah, Quiles. And I thought, nice Mexican breakfast. That's not just another burrito. That's what kind of drew me to that one, and a little bit different than what we would normally have. So it brought a new, like I say, Mexican breakfast that's new for the fair and new for the people here.
You know, when I read that one, it's like, tortilla chips and you got chili sauce on it and a little bit of chicken, and you top it with eggs, and then you got lettuce, tomato, and sour cream on top of that. And I thought, hey, you know, that's some bachelor just got home from the bar and he threw everything he could find on a plate.
Whatever he had left over in the fridge.
I think so. I mean,
you're right.
I lost all logic in why I would put certain things there, but there they are. And it's probably pretty good.
Yeah.
How long have you been doing this?
Been with the fair and full-time staff for 18, going on 19 fairs now. So.
Well, you've seen a lot of different foods come and go over that length of time.
Yeah, a few of them, as we use the expression, have had legs, and some have kind of didn't make it past the second year, so they went on.
What's your favorite that you've seen over the years that you wanted to walk to and grab one when you got to the fair?
As far as classics, I'll go back to that. I guess I've always been a mini donut guy. Something you can't really, well, I mean, obviously you can get donuts anywhere, but the mini donuts I've always thought were something that was fun and different. You could only get at the fair. Corn dogs done fresh and hot, and the original old world casein footlong that you can really only get here, those types of things that have always been kind of special to me that you can't just get at the corner at the mall food court. So
more simple foods. Are what you kind of like. What I was reading through here, it sounds like somebody, quite a few of these, they just have a lot of imagination.
Yeah.
In putting things together, you know, and I'm sure they're good, but it's probably stretching to find something new to serve when there's already 500 things.
Well, exactly. I've always said there's only so many ways you can slice and dice, you know, beef, chicken, and pork, and what are you going to do with it, and how are you going to do it? But every year I say we've run out of things to do with bacon, but sure enough, they fool me, and this year they wrap the turkey leg in bacon. So who would have thought? Protein on top of protein. But
everything tastes better with bacon, huh?
Everything. It's become a condiment. It's kind of sad, but...
Yeah. And here's another one, you know. And when I read this thing, I just said, what? No, not really. It's called Jell-O Salad Ice Cream.
Yeah, isn't that kind of a silly version, but a tie into the Hamlin Church Dining Hall, and the church basement ladies are all applauding that their Jell-O Salad has become a classic premium ice cream, and where better to get it but at the fair at a dining hall. So it's kind of silly, kind of flavor, but Izzy's down here does a great job of making some very good flavors, and we're looking forward to that one, too.
Yeah, bananas and Jell-O, I mean, I envision that pretty well, but this is kind of a potluck dessert. It's got, Jell-O salad. And then there was another one that actually sounded really good to me, and that was a toasted waffle sandwich. It's got rich vanilla ice cream in it and a little bit of sugar dusting. That was the hot toasted waffle ice cream. So you got hot and cold in the same thing.
Exactly, yeah, and a fresh-made waffle, what a better way. I mean, we've all had an ice cream sandwich, but what a better way to do it than with a fresh, crispy waffle with a vanilla ice cream between it. And this new ice cream place kind of wound up by our new transportation hub. So I encouraged everybody here, challenged them all to come up with breakfast stands, because I said there'll be busloads of people getting off the bus hungry at 8 in the morning. So the ice cream guy says, well, what am I going to do? Well, he came up with waffles and ice cream. So it's natural.
And there it was. That's pretty good. How do they apply? How do they go about it? I mean, do they call you? Do they go online? How do you find out that somebody wants to put their food in the fair?
The starting point is as simple as a registration. They can get it online. We can mail one to them, and it has all the basic information on our website. And they just need to tell their story. We have a cover sheet, which is basically not much to it. We're saying how much space do you need, what's the most you would need, what's the least you need, and what would you like to do out here, and what's your experience. It's kind of like your cover sheet for your resume and your opportunity to dazzle us or wow us and tell us this is what we've been doing and trying, and we'd really like to bring it to the fair. So that's the starting point, is as simple as registering and getting us information. And we will review that every year. Like I said, we do have 400 to 500 every year, but I never want to be anybody's wet blanket and say, no, don't, because it's the odds are thin. We've had people get in the very first year they applied just because they were in the right place at the right time or had the product we needed and were willing and able to come in. So the other side of the story here is there's a family that had registered for over 20 years before they got in, but those are the stories that get out there. So,
How soon do they have to get that application in?
We take them all year round. I mean, right now we're full, so we wouldn't be reviewing them, but generally our process starts right away in the fall. In fact, re-registrations for the next year's fair go out right away in October. So our fair starts pretty early. We start looking and planning, and that's when we kind of flush people out and say, are you going to come back or not? And we start reviewing new registrations usually after the first of the year. That's when we have a sense of if we're going to have any space available. So that's kind of our annual life cycle, if you will.
We've been speaking with Dennis Larson, and Dennis is the License Administration Manager for the Minnesota State Fair, and he picks out all those new kind of eclectic group of foods this year, but all the new foods that you're going to find down at the State Fair, and also, of course, all the ones that he's picked over the years, are many of them still there. 1.8 million people traveling to the State Fair, and it was 10 days? 2 weeks.
We're 12 days. 12 days ending Labor Day, yep.
Mm-hmm. 12 days. It's a big deal to get into the State Fair, and they sure got a large selection of foods. That's what State Fair is largely, to a lot of people, known for. Dennis, I want to thank you so much for your time tonight, and I hope it goes smoothly this year.
Oh, you're very welcome. We're always wish for good weather, and we'd love to have you down if it's been a few years.
Yeah. Is it still flooded out, or do I need to bring my canoe?
Right now, it's clear and blue skies and sunny, but I won't guarantee August. We hope it will be.
Well, I forgot to ask you to give those dates, if you would.
August 21st to September 1st, Labor Day. 12 days of fun ending Labor Day.
Great. Thank you so much, Dennis.
Very good, Buck. Nice to talk to you.